Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you doing, black woman?
I'm good, black man. What's been going on?
You know, life, you know. Still single, no kids.
Congrats.
huh? What'd you say?
I said congrats.
Thank you. Dude, it's like when you pass like a certain, like I'm like 33 now, right?
Yeah.
So it's like when you pass that as a man, like once you pass that, you know, that 25 marker is like, whatever.
When's the last time you were in something serious, or you know what, substantial is a better word?
Wow, it's been like maybe over 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I would say this year I was kind of like dating, but then that kind of, it just falls over, bro.
Yeah.
I was dating this Jamaican chick.
Mm-hmm.
And last for like 3 weeks, man.
What was the turnoff?
I mean, like, she was in her, like, early 30s, too. Like, I think she was, like, 31, 32. And, like, it was, like, I was liking it, you know? But then, I mean, she just flipped, like... It was like she was just trying to get married so fast.
And oh.
That too. And she didn't understand where I was being straight up honest with her, you know what I'm saying? I was graduating pretty soon. I was working. And she was like, well, I don't want. And then another thing with them, it was like, it wasn't her, it was her, like, cousin's girlfriend will always bring up, like, you know, you guys Americans be doing stuff like this and that. I'm like, bro. I mean, I understand we're all black, but why you gotta bring up the differences? I mean, I understand there's a difference.
There is a difference, though. You know what? When I get clients that are Caribbean, I can always tell. The female Caribbeans, like, before I even hear their accent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a trait in my personal experience that they have.
Yeah.
Bossy as hell. And they're bossy because their moms are bossy. And they admit it too.
Right.
So the men watching American men try to acclimate to Caribbean women is amazing. So there is a difference. And you might have got spared a little bit, honestly.
Yeah. Like,
they're aggressive.
Very plain. I'm like, it wasn't her, it was her cousin. Always,
yeah.
Harrison. It's like, dang. Like, every time I'm glad that we all meeting up, but why is there such a comparison conversation with you? Like,
cultural.
Yeah.
Just like, I just was talking to somebody about Tyler, and I'm like, I don't know, dude. The ignorance of America, I'm going to be honest. There was this big news story, you know, in entertainment, yeah, about Tyler calling herself colored. And I have South African relatives. Yes, they call themselves colored. If you're multi-ethnic or bi-ethnic, that's a literal group of people. So, you know, it's annoying to hear America, like, try to judge other people's cultures when you can tell they're very ignorant about the culture.
Yeah. So
some stuff is just very cultural, and we don't want to learn anything. We just want to teach. But anyway, what you want to talk about today? And P.S., I'm sure you know this. Men don't tend to hit their stride till about 35 anyway. I don't expect you to... You got 2 more years to focus on you, so do that. If a family is what you want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, enjoy these years of building up your life. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I'd be like, we don't depend, like, your average man won't build until like 35, 45.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's interesting. That's why I kind of chuckle when women are like, why are these old men, number one, 35 is not old. Why right. these old men want these 25-year-olds? And I'm like, well, if a man hasn't hit his stride until 35, but he wants children, no, he's not going to naturally pick another 35-year-old. Because right. that doesn't mean, you know, I'm a doula. So I've had clients that have babies in their 40s, but it is a higher risk pregnancy. So why would guys naturally gravitate to high risk pregnancies if they want more than one child? I just need to use some logic.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Anyway, let's get to this topic. You did a video on this sugar mama thing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, are we going to see more sugar mama, the rise of sugar mamas than sugar daddies?
I mean, no. I don't think so. I think the reason why, you know, I'm a tap dance around how we found the video. We already talked about that off air.
Right.
But the reason why I think that video was so hilarious is just because it wasn't even because he posted a sugar mama. It's because he posted multiple sugar mamas. Right. That's what was so funny to me. But I think that has existed as long as sugar daddies have. I just think sugar mamas don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was interesting even to see people's comments. And it was kind of from guys. It was kind of wild to see guys get a little triggered by it because they're like, he's using them and blah, blah. And I was like, I didn't get that at all. A lot of these older women, who you think is teaching the younger women to be more and more quote unquote masculine? They're not getting it out of nowhere.
Right.
So a lot of these older women are telling the younger women, you don't need a man. You know, go get that penis too. You got that money, go spend it. So here we are.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're about to see an influx of that. I don't, you know, I have been abstinent as long as I have been without a boyfriend. Okay. And that will be 17 years.
Okay.
Here, right? Not really played out that way. I mean, it played out that way. It wasn't by design. But during that time, I've watched a lot. And I think what's happening is a lot of people are picking relationships now that are convenient, not purposeful. The sugar culture is convenient. It doesn't really have purpose. But it is kind of like penis on your time or vagina on your time. Travel when you want to. You know, you're getting a companion without having to really compromise or sacrifice or let's meet in the middle or reciprocity. I pay you for your time. And honestly, don't we see that a lot in social media anyway? Everything's transactional now. It's not purposeful.
Yeah.
That's where I think we are.
Yeah. I mean, things are very getting transactional.
For sure. Right. I mean, but, you know, a running motto of mine is when you don't know the purpose of something, you're going to abuse it. Ask a woman what the purpose of marriage is. They don't know. You know what I'm saying? They don't. So that's why they're mad about, I can't believe how much cooking is a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, cooking. We're not even debating, like, sex on demand, you know, for lack of a word, better word, on demand. And even that kind of stuff is interesting to me because I'm like, what was your experience of a man or what did you see about relationships growing up? Did you think a good man wants to have sex with a woman who doesn't want to have sex? You know, so... Yeah. When I discuss the responsibility of sex in a marriage, it is a responsibility. But do you really think your husband wants you if you don't want him? Nobody is co-signing on rape. Like, relax.
Right.
But it is a responsibility. If you don't want to have sex regularly, why are you getting married? If you don't want to nurture a man, why are you getting married? Stay single. What is the problem?
Right.
That's what's tripping me out.
I mean, what was the point?
Exactly. And even this, I'm kind of curious, and I might do my own unofficial study on it. I just want to know, you know, even now how we want to tiptoe around words like hooker, prostitute, harlot, whore. Don't call them that. Call them sex workers. Oh, okay. But we can dog traditional wives to the floor.
Right.
Amazing to me. So I want to do my own study to just kind of be like, when did we shift from praising prostitution and degrading wifedom? Because that's clearly where we are now.
Right.
That's what I'm curious about.
You got to a point, like, they saying, sex work is work.
Right. But my thing is, we don't want to offend them by calling them prostitutes.
Right.
When the very definition of prostitution is, you know, sex for pay.
Right.
So let's not use a word that makes them uncomfortable, but let's trash. You know, there's a whole hashtag on TikTok called Tradwives. They wear Tradwives out. Traditional wives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's bizarre to me. That you don't want to offend people who take money for sex. Okay, whatever. But it's okay to offend women who take care of their family. And y'all don't think that's dysfunctional. Wow. Wow.
And then this whole idea of making a man this human ATM.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm seeing that more from women that's married. So it's like, so you're telling me the whole purpose of your husband is to pay for you, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
he could die and your little payment could end, and then you're going to be left with those kids, and where the fuck are you going to go?
Because a lot of times they pick wisely. Now, if you're going to pick wisely, your husband dies and payments don't end. There's life insurance. And
that's true.
He put things in order. So a lot of times...
That's if, though.
That's what you say?
I'm saying if he does that.
Well, a lot of times these women are not going to pick a man that doesn't.
Right.
They're picking... If you're picking for money, you're picking for long money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I think the more we get away from spirituality, order, God... The more we're going to move over to, you know, I don't like when people say money is the root of evil. That's not what the scripture says. It says the love of money is the root of evil.
Right.
1 Timothy 6:10. But as we see, if you know, you can't serve God and mammon. That's scripture. So either you're going to do it God's way or you're going to do it money's way. And as we're moving further away from God, we're moving closer to money. I mean, scripture said those are your choices.
Right.
So if you're not looking at, and I'm not even saying necessarily the Bible, Quran, Torah, if you're not looking at marriage from, I want to be with someone to, one, make me a better person, two, to continue a legacy, three, to show other people how to love well, then I'm probably not going to pick from a healthy standpoint. I'm going to pick what conveniences me. And for women, that would be money.
Right.
So here we are.
So we're basically indulging hypergamy to its final form, or?
Kinda.
Oh, final form? We're just getting started.
hypergamy historically existed. But it was factored in with the things that I just said. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with wanting a man who takes care of you. It's just generationally, we reciprocated that.
Yeah.
And a man didn't have a problem with that. I signed up to take care of you.
Yeah.
And I need you to take care of this house.
Right.
And so the gaslight of, no, you take care of me. You know, like, in the Black community, this really gets on my nerves. I'm amazed how much people don't realize what white feminism has really done to the black community, because how much are you insulting our ancestors by comparing nurturing to slavery?
Yeah.
Slavery? Like, have y'all really read what slaves went through? I promise you, cooking is not slavery.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cleaning the kitchen is not slavery. Like, y'all are wilding out here.
Yeah.
That's very insulting to me. And again, if you don't want to do it, you know, when I public speak on stuff like this, I'm like, it's very telling that you don't want to, like, I don't want to cook, I'm not your slave. You don't cook for yourself? Because if you cook for yourself, you're just making an extra plate. Like, why is this so new to y'all?
Right.
You know, I don't want to clean. I say often, some of the nastiest bathrooms I've ever seen is not a guy's bathroom. It's actually a girl's bathroom.
Right.
So it's kind of like, are you upset with the traditional roles, or is it that you weren't properly taught the traditional roles and so you're gaslighting men into not wanting them because you don't know how to do them well?
Right.
Here we are.
And also the ramping up of the 50-50 thing.
Yeah, you tell me how you feel about that. Let's discuss.
Like, because I'm thinking, for us in the black community, like 50-50 was the norm. That's what I saw. That's what I saw within my grandparents.
You saw 50-50 as far as income? I didn't. Did you? I mean,
not income, but just like there was an understanding. You take care of me. He had his role. My grandma had his role. Everything was taken care of. If he needed, just to pay a bill, like, she got it. But then the overall bills, he got it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think I think what you're talking about, and we are different in age. Like, I'll be 50 in June, and you're 33.
Congrats.
Thank you. So I think what you're talking about is more reciprocity. I think what social media is talking about is a man is like, and not because of how I grew up and what I saw, I don't agree. If you want a traditional wife, you do need to be a traditional husband. So when I see the timeline talk about 50-50, it's cook me dinner and pay half the rent. But what you're talking about is reciprocity. Yes, you should be seeing that. And reciprocity can manifest a lot of ways. Like, my godparents, they put each other through medical school. He put her through first, and she put him through first, actually. And then he put her through it. That kind of 50-50, I celebrate.
Okay.
Or like my great-grandparents, I used to see one set of them every summer. I never recall my great-grandfather making a meal, not one meal. But I never remember my grandmother having to touch her car other than to drive it, ever. Like, every Friday he washed it and filled up the tank, like clockwork.
Right.
So that kind of 50-50, yeah, like the man takes care of the outside, woman takes care of the inside. But I think what they're debating on the timeline is not that. I think what they're debating is, as much as I hold women accountable, I'm not going to overlook when men need to be held accountable. And right. So it would be like, I need you to cook these meals, clean this house, and I need you to catch after these bills. I'm not necessarily co-signing on that.
Right, okay.
You see what I'm saying? If we're going in this together as roommates, let's discuss it. Because that's what it feels like. Like, a traditional home means he takes care of the outside, you take care of the inside. Period.
Right.
And I tell men often, like, the guys that do want the 50-50 split, you're not going to get the full femininity of a woman with that anyway, because we're tired. So, like, if we're out there in the field with you, field meaning provision, and I use the word field for anybody listening, because I'm pulling from Genesis 3, when God told Adam to toil in the field. If I'm in the field with you, then I'm coming home at the same time as you. And then I'm cooking, cleaning, and you want sex, I'm tired. But if I'm home, I'm setting the atmosphere throughout the day to prepare for your needs when you come home.
Right.
So a lot of times you should, now I'll say this too though, you've got to pick a good woman in this economy for that. Because that also means
that's another thing
are being made. You know, it's expensive to be traditional these days. Sacrifices have to be made for that. I don't like when people say you can't do it. I know, I live in Nashville. I know a lot of traditional couples. And by that, I mean a one income household, many. And everybody's needs are met, but sacrifices are made. There may not be cable in the house. You know what I'm saying? Everybody might not be driving a new car.
Right.
You may not be wearing $10,000 on your finger. But no, you can go get a mani-pedi and get your hair done. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It takes a very mature couple to want to be traditional, but I still think it's worth it, hands down.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking, like, especially when America made women into the workforce, I'm like, well, they made them into, like, a buffer class. So I'm like, and I'm like, you really kind of, they kind of forced y'all into the 50-50, you know?
A little bit. I think,
they
I mean,
put y'all in there.
A lot of people don't want to study the history of feminism. They just want to use the rhetoric of it. But yeah. Once they figured out that they could tax women, in comes feminism.
Yeah.
So before they couldn't make money off of it, they didn't have a problem women staying at home. Once they could make money off of us, now they're telling us, you need to be out here with us. Right, but they're not even... What blows my mind, I think, is just the obsession with wanting to outdo men instead of just being happy. It's like an obsession.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you get how dope femininity is? You know, I talk about submission a lot because I think it's taught very poorly. One, you don't submit to anyone who's not your husband. You're feminine to people who are not your husband.
Yeah.
Submission's literally a wedding present. But do you get how strong your power is that God was like, I need someone to help harness that power? Because that's really all submission's doing. It's someone coming in, seeing how strong and powerful and life-altering you are and giving it some direction so that you can actually help manifest a bigger plan. That's all submission is. Can everybody relax? And a man that loves you doesn't want to suppress who you are. He's just helping provide direction. That's it. We don't teach any of this. So now we're just all out here chaotic.
Right. And it's like, oh, men are not like, because right now it's really showing like, you know, your U.S. economy is centered around a man to bring forth a family. It's
right.
Really, like, it's very important that men have families because a lot of these companies are shutting down.
Yeah.
Like, look at Toys R Us. Toys R Us now, but a shelf at Macy's. They went from a whole independent, you know, Walmart store into a shelf at Macy's, which shows like men ain't making babies like that no more.
I mean,
and having sex.
I mean, like right. And I mean, it's. I was watching a video maybe a couple months ago, and this woman was talking to some Hebrew Israelites about how they don't need men to make kids. And I was just like, didn't we all learn that in elementary school? Yes, you do. Like that's not high school level anatomy. How do you make babies without men?
Right.
And I think you probably saw earlier this year there was a sperm bank crisis because black men aren't donating their sperm. They're just like, okay, well, if you don't need us, you don't need us. Figure it out.
Right.
And now we're going to be in chaos because, you know, it's the old saying, babies are a sign that the world should go on. Like, we can't, the human race can't keep moving without children.
Right.
So do you all want to admit you need men or not? We just going to end the human race to preserve your ego? That's what we doing?
Right. And then, like, you got, auto places going out of business? Because men were there to pay cars to show it off to, not just compete with other men, but to show off to women, the bait, just to get you. You know what I'm saying?
And it's now, what are you getting?
Now, so, men,
like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I had a client that, because for people, like, if you don't know who I am, I'm a marriage life coach for one thing. And I had a client on his way out of his marriage, and he was like, I can get a prostitute in May to do better than my wife did. You know what I'm saying? That's wild to say.
Yeah.
So I think guys are hipping up to that. They're just like, it's not worth the investment. I'll just stay single. And I'll have casual sex, and I will get a, I forget the other word. We're not supposed to call them maids. Housekeeper. I'll get a housekeeper, and life will be great. And that's sad for men, too, because when you really think, like, God's looking at all of us like, this is just really tragic. It's just one big train wreck.
Yeah.
Because think of how excited God was when he made a woman for men. And then men are like, yeah, I don't trust that God. Like, we're going to have to do something else. Yeah. What else you got?
You might as well go ahead and throw the aliens out of.
Right. Right. So what's your plan? You're 33.
Uh-huh.
No kids.
Yeah.
Never been married.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? At 40, what's your plan? When it comes to relationships. By 40, what's your plan?
Hopefully, I would like to be in a real relationship that going somewhere, get married, and probably 45 have my first kid.
What qualities are you looking for?
Man, it's like, I mean, I'm looking for just the bare minimum, just like every other man.
What's the bare minimum?
It's like,
I need you to want more than the bare minimum, please. But what's the bare minimum?
Because I feel like I don't even want the bare minimum. It's like, I've been by myself, you know, majority of my life. It's like, I tell anybody that men are natural minimalists. It's like, the older I get, the less stuff I just don't want.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little incident with my family, and we had to move out, and it's like, once we moved, I didn't take no stuff. I mean, we took a few stuff, like a bed, but I don't got a TV. I just got a laptop, my phone, my iPad, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I have no television. Like, I don't even want that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, the older I'm getting, the less stuff. I got good credit, thank God. what else? I'm not in debt. I don't have no student loan debts. It's like, I'm just trying. I need to graduate next year.
What's your degree in?
I'm going to be cybersecurity.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I'm going to be an IT auditor. And what else? That's they paying like a good $80,000.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And with that, it's like, I got my car's paid off. That's paid off. And It's like, once you be single for like a very long period of time, it's like, do you want to be around with somebody? I mean, I understand I need to be with someone, but it's like the emotional labor.
I mean, I'm still waiting on what your minimums are. What are they?
Oh, it's like, I just want a nice looking woman. No, okay. She got black. Black woman. She gotta be a dress size 6 or below.
Okay.
I would like to be in the dress size 4. But that's asking a lot, though.
That is asking a lot. That's kind of tiny. Real talk.
Yeah. But dress size 6 or 8, I'm fine with that, too.
Okay.
She gotta be, I guess, traditional.
Explain.
She doesn't mind. I mean, I know how to cook. Mm-hmm. I want for her to cook. We can cook together. My mom is currently living, so I'm still probably have to take care of her because she ain't getting married no time soon.
Mm-hmm.
She never got married, so. Like, my grandma said, like, saw how I was growing up, and she said it may be a problem for me to be with somebody knowing that my mom's still around.
Well, and I mean, if you're traditional, who comes first, the wife or the mom?
I mean, now, if she becomes my wife, both of them are going to have to come first, you know?
Traditionally, what's the answer?
Traditionally, what's the answer?
Yeah.
It's gonna have to be my wife, you know.
Yeah, it is. So where I'm going with that, because y'all can't expect us to be that and y'all not that, but where I'm going with that is you would have to pick a woman very family oriented,
right?
And your mother would have to accept your wife comes first, but if your wife is naturally nurturing, the lines won't be quite as broad, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Your wife won't have a problem with some of the sacrifices you'll have to make because she would make similar ones. Right. But if your mom wants her son to get married, she's going to have to accept it. She's going to have to take the back seat because that's the truth.
Right.
Okay, what else? So she needs to be family oriented. She needs to be petite. She needs to have traditional values. What else?
I want at least sex once a week.
Yep. Healthy marriages have sex 4 times a month, bare minimum.
Yeah. So, because I was seeing that comments of, like, another young lady on social media, they were saying having sex, like, 3 times a week. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, there are.
I'm like, I'm just good for this one time once a week, because, you know, we'll pick a day and just get her done. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, usually how it plays out is most of my clients, it's probably 4 to 5 times a month, and it's not really like weekly. It might be like 1 week is nothing, the next week is 3 times, another week is 2 times. It usually plays out like that. But a 33-year-old man wants sex once a week is not ridiculous.
Right.
I will say I need more men. First of all, I need more couples to do premarital counseling, period. And I don't mean 3 meetings at your church with your pastor. When I do premarital sessions, it's 6 months minimum. And I spend a good 2 months on intimacy because I heard an older woman say years ago, it was a Huffington Post article, or I think they go by HuffPost now, and they were asking her what was the key to their marriage. They were married, I can't remember, 60 years or 70 years, and she said, I F my husband, I'll F my friend. And I appreciate her, because, yeah, one of the main things that should separate marriage from any other relationship is sex. So if sex is that relevant, then sex needs to be that much of a priority.
Right.
And so men should not assume that they're on the same page with the woman they date about sex and marriage. You need to ask. And I tell guys often, quit assuming that women being good in bed means that they enjoy sex. That's not necessarily the case. So, you know, some guys are like, I need a woman gives good head. I need a woman. Okay. But some women weaponize sex to get you to marry them. And then the very thing that they were doing dating you, they're going to slow that up once the goal has been reached. So you'd be better off getting a woman who is less experienced but enjoys it. Because then she has the mindset of, like, one of my favorite wives, she's been married 20 plus years, and she's like, I get mad at my husband. I don't pull back sex. I'm not withholding an orgasm because I'm mad. You need to marry that girl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, discuss sex with whoever you're considering marrying. And by discussing sex, I mean, what was your first experience like? What did your parents teach you about it? What do you think is the spiritual purpose of sex? Do you think sex is a priority in a marriage?
Also,
how often should you initiate? All that. Also
with this, did you see Leslie Jones on The Breakfast Club?
No, what's she saying? I'm pretty sure it's anyway. What she
saying? Like, she was saying that, you know, men, y'all need take sex education, and I don't like y'all passport bros. It's something we're doing. I'm like, you're talking to a 50-year-old woman, you know what I'm saying? Wild and having sex and crap, you know?
Help me understand the context of what...
Like, for me, I felt like, especially Black American men, it's like, we have to be these porn stars for you Black women. If we don't perform, then we less of a man.
I mean, I'm going to need y'all to perform. Look, this is what's so funny. I have had, because I am such a Black male advocate, and I really am, I still have to remind men sometimes, you do know I'm a woman though, right? Because yeah. Men like come talking to me left sometimes, and I'll be like, dude. So no, yes, something else that is shifting, but this time for the better, is that for years, women were having sex for men, not with men. God never designed sex to be that way. It's not for your pleasure, it's for our pleasure. What happens is, the way our culture operates is everything goes to the extreme. So for women to say, no, I do need to be sexually pleased. No, they're right. They're right. Just like if you signed up to be with me for the rest of your life, I need to please you. If I sign up to be with you for the rest of my life, you need to please me. What happens in American culture is everything is on 10. So it's like there's sexual pleasure and then there's liberation to the point where you treat men like they're human vibrators. Now that's too far to the extreme, right? Yeah. And I'm assuming I didn't listen, but I'm thinking that's what Leslie was saying, based on what you're saying. And that goes to an Eric Jerome Dickey quote. If anybody who doesn't know who that is, he's gone now, which is still wild to think of, but he was a very popular Black romance author. He was great. And one of my favorite lines from his fictional book was, sex without love is violence. And not necessarily violence like rape, but it is violence in the sense of like two people who don't have some kind of emotional connection are taking advantage of each other on some level. And I think that's kind of where we are as far as sex culture now. It's really not about love, connection. There's something beautiful about virgins having sex. This culture is wild. Like, we tease virgins.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with being a virgin?
Right.
Relax. But the way it was, I have a few friends that were virgins when they got married. Not just the woman, the man too. And yeah, there was a lot of fumbling around and discomfort and pain and what is going on, and took us 6 months to have an orgasm, all that. But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with learning your partner? What's wrong with, no, we don't have to act like we're, I think this is where you were coming from. We don't have to reenact porn, which, by the way, I used to tour with an industry that got people out of porn. You don't want to do porn. Those people are acting more times than not. A lot of the women hate the people they do porn with.
Yeah.
A lot of them have a horrible sex life with their actual partner. It's on loop, so often you're seeing it chopped up. So no, you don't want to learn how to be with your partner through porn. So I think there's a balance there. Like, if what Leslie was saying is, no, we're not just going to be on our back and fake it, I applaud that. If what she was saying was, you need to be a glorified vibrator, I don't applaud that. We need to be able to connect in sex. The Bible talks a lot about sex, more than people realize, really.
Okay.
And so, like, one of my favorite scriptures is the Message version of 1 Corinthians 6, and it says sex is as much of a spiritual mystery as it is a physical fact. And one definition of mystery is divine revelation. So another scripture I like a lot is 1 Corinthians 7:5, which says, do not deprive your partner. Unless both of you decide to pray and fast, you should always be having sex. So if you put those two scriptures together, when married people have sex, there's revelations that come to them through sex. Pop culture is not talking about that.
Yeah.
Pop culture is talking about nothing all the time. You know what I'm saying? So they're robbing themselves of the beauty of sex by only thinking that the purpose of sex is pleasure. But make no mistake about it, a part of sex should be pleasure for the man and the woman. If the man gets off on pleasing her, and she gets off on pleasing him, everybody's happy. Not, what am I going to get? And I'm not worried about what you're going to get.
Right.
Our culture's selfish. That's probably the best way to just encapsulate this whole conversation. This is a very selfish culture. Marriage and sex was not designed to be selfish. Selfish people need not apply for sex or marriage. Just be by yourself.
And also, we're seeing feminism flowed on the very people who presented it, as far as Caucasian women.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot imploding in that, where a lot of Caucasian, well, white women are saying, like, yeah, y'all, we need men. Like, like, you're seeing a blonde, blue-eyed woman say, yeah, I need a man. Like, you know? Or just fighting it, like they not seeing that.
They knew that from the jump. White feminists knew that from the jump. Like, yeah. To come into the thing that I say often is, black women want the applause of white women at the risk of not getting the affirmation of black men, which is wild. Like, historically, why would you trust white women over black men? What is wrong with y'all? But aside from like the 60s and 70s, because it was a little different, and I'm saying in the white community, when it was female empowerment and free love and let's smoke a lot of weed, aside from that period of time, white women know that white men are necessary in their life. You know, they're going to get on the mic and tell you don't need a man, but they got a man at home. Kind of like when everybody was mad at Ciara when she did that single song, but she going home to Russell. White women are the same way.
Yeah.
But they want to tell you, you don't need your man. Because they don't, why? They don't like black love. They don't like black unity. They don't like black community. They don't like black order. It's powerful. So, you know, that's like when Dorothy Pittman Hughes died, I want to say it was last year. And I was just like, and Dorothy Pittman Hughes was like the partner in crime of Gloria Steinem, who is a huge white feminist. I was kind of like, I mean, bye. You know, and it's sad when anybody dies, but bye. Because you let Gloria Steinem abuse isn't the word, manipulate you to come and infiltrate the Black community with this message that you don't need your own men. That's wild to me.
Right.
And now women believe it. All you need, and I'm also kind of like, well, if you don't need them, why do y'all need all this money they got since y'all don't need them?
Yeah.
Then go on and live your life and don't need them. I don't need a man, but when we go out, you know, somebody was asking me in another interview, what did I think about dating standards? And, you know, for me to be the age that I am, I've never been married. I've been engaged once. My fiance died many years ago. But I have a lot of male friends. I've never, and then when I was dating, dating wasn't that deep to me in the sense of the finance part of it. Like the way that my relationships are now, we flip the tabs back and forth. And really, the guys didn't ask me to do that. I suggested it. You know, whether it's a relative, a platonic relationship, somebody I was dating, or a boyfriend. Boyfriends were a little different because they kind of didn't want me to touch the tab. Mm-hmm. But most of the men in my life always pick up the tab. And I was kind of like, I want to reciprocate. So the way that things kind of flow is it'll be like, you know, what you doing? Let's go get lunch Wednesday. Okay, where are we going? Okay, you picked up the tab last time. I got it. And if wherever we're going is too expensive, then we go someplace cheaper. Right. So that the whoever's picking up the tab can pick it up. So this whole thing about like a dude needs to pay $200 for what? Like what within your own self-esteem needs an expensive date? I feel like we're not asking people the right questions.
Yeah.
You know, even the Cheesecake Factory thing, and Cheesecake Factory really, they blew that opportunity. Because I would have, if I was over marketing a Cheesecake Factory, I would have given discounts on first dates. I would have made that a marketing campaign.
Right.
Because we were literally talking about them for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
But I just went to Cheesecake Factory last week because their steaks are actually great. And you're easily spending $200 for two people. If both of us order a steak and an appetizer and dessert and drinks, that's $200. So I don't know how Cheesecake got a backhanded slap like that, but why do you need an expensive date? What is it validating for you? Is it so you can get on Instagram and tell all your friends? Is it because you've never been taken on an expensive date? Is it because it makes you feel good about yourself if you're taking on an expensive date? Because if you really want to just to get to know someone, it's not a slight to go on a coffee date. Like, it's really not. If the agenda is really to get to know someone and if you value yourself and your time, you also want the coffee date. Because if it's not a good connection, we need to be getting up out of here. Like, good to see you. I need to go. You know, so how is a guy cheap when he's like, you know, I'm feeling you. Let's meet at Starbucks and talk here. And P.S., sometimes based on the time of the date, if there's a good connection at Starbucks, then we go to dinner. You know, like y'all are missing the point. The initial first date is just to see if there's a connection. If a guy feels connected to you, he's going to invest in you. Are y'all scared that they're not going to be connected because there's not much to invest in? Is that the point?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know any man that has a problem investing in a good woman. Not one. Not one. So the whole thing, men are cheap. I don't know these men y'all are talking about. I know guys that are not going to waste their time, and they shouldn't. I know guys that are not going to spend money on you needlessly, and they shouldn't. I know guys that have hierarchies in their investment, meaning, no, I'm not going to spend the same amount of money on a girl I just met as I would on my actual girlfriend, as I would my actual fiance, as I would my actual wife. And they should. These girls get real triggered out here that you're not treating someone you date, like a wife. Why would they do that? Pay my bills for what?
And this treatment where, especially, I caught on the, well, we got both educated lanes, both on males and females, where we, I'm looking at on YouTube, where this female educated lane telling her audience that the hoes get the princess treatment.
Yeah. Though the princess treatment.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't agree. I think quote unquote hoes get what they agree to.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any reason why guys, you know how they used to say guys pay prostitutes to leave. Like, it's not the sex, it's the convenience of the sex. If it appears to be that the quote-unquote hoes are getting princess treatment, I think they're getting what they asked for and they're giving what was asked of them. A lot of the ways women date now, they keep moving the board. And so guys are not interested. I'm so tired of the transactional discussion. It just wears me out. If you want to be treated like a princess, and I don't even understand really what that means, honestly. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it, because let me run it back. The ultimate goal should be, no, let me run that back. The first thing that needs to be figured out when you're first getting to know someone is, what do you want? And tell the truth. So, you want sex, you want a relationship, you want marriage, and then not just marriage, marriage with kids. What do you want? And both of you be honest, and then date according to that understanding. So for a woman to be like, I want the princess treatment, he should pay my bills. You know, a lot of girls will be like, I mean, it should be automatic. If I want my nails done, you send me the money for my nails. That's not automatic. Why is he giving you the princess treatment and we're just dating, and we're not even really dating, I'm getting to know you. So that's called, you're pimping him is what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's not really him treating you. Can be treated like a princess and he's not cash apping you all the time. So that would be the first conversation. Like, if your understanding of dating is it's super transactional, then what am I getting on the other side?
Exactly.
If I'm not getting my needs met, then I'm not going to give you what you need. And then they like to gaslight it and say, oh, okay, then you're just using us. Well, weren't you just using me for these nails? So what are we doing? Okay.
Right. It's a trip.
It's exhausting, really. I'm getting to... Now that I'm at 50, I don't have aging issues, clearly, because I told you my age. I really don't. My mom gave me a good gift of that. We look well and we age well. But I am getting to a season in my wisdom where I'm just like, I'm tired of these kids now. Like, I'm starting to talk like that. You know, like, I listen to music and I'm like, What did Sexy Red say? What y'all talking about over there? You know what I'm saying? Or why are we even debating if a dude should get your hair done? Like, we talking about that? That's a real conversation? I'm tired. Either be traditional or don't be traditional. If you want to be traditional, I need you to be prepared to be a nurturer. If you don't want to be traditional, stay single. And be a sugar mama. Live your best life. I was not nearly as triggered by the sugar mamas as everybody else was. Those women, even to be able to live that lifestyle, you're not broke. You know, in the moral scheme of things, it's not the most beautiful thing to witness. But those women are being taken advantage of. Those are some of the women that are like, either I've been married, I didn't like it, or my libido's high. Because a lot of these older women, they're not, I don't like the way our sexuality is, the story is told. Menopausal women, for example, they still want to have sex. Like, y'all stop acting like 45 is old. It's not. 45 is moving toward being too old to have children. It's not too old to be a sexual being.
Right.
So, these older women that want to get out here and kick it with these young men, I mean, do what you do. Do what you do. But if that's the life you want to live, that's not marriage. That's a sugar mama. Y'all are merging the lines too much, the lanes too much, and we're crashing. You know, I want to treat men like they're, like I'm their sugar mama, but I want them to provide for me traditional needs. Those are two totally different lanes. You're contradicting yourself.
Yeah.
I want to be able to cash app a man to do whatever I want. No, he better not ever ask me to make him dinner ever. So what does he get out of cash apping you? Just the joy of giving you money? And you really think men believe that's a good move? And so I think men are like, this doesn't make sense to us either. So we're going to tap out of the conversation and just enjoy our life without you in it. And now women are freaking out because they're like, oh, men really can enjoy their lives without us in it. Yeah, they can.
Yeah.
They really can.
And also, for the last one will be, what do you think about this little ceiling challenge that women are doing?
I don't know what that is. What is it?
Like, they're putting their phones on the ceiling and just twerking up a storm.
Oh, I have seen that. They're calling it a ceiling challenge?
Yeah.
Why are they doing it, though? I saw it, but what's the purpose?
I mean, I saw the original. It was an Asian girl. She put her phone on the ceiling, but she was washing dishes, though. Black women do it. It's a whole strip club thing.
What's the objective? To do what?
I don't know.
I mean, to me, that's another gaslight. Don't sexualize us before we sexualize ourselves. Like, I don't
understand. Yeah.
Don't see us as sex objects, but we ain't got no clothes on. Like, sometimes I'll tiptoe out on social media and I'll just be like, I'm starting to wonder if a lot of women don't realize that there's more they have to offer than their body. And I'm a woman saying that. And I can enjoy, even as a heterosexual woman, women are beautiful. You know, especially a natural woman. Sometimes I will shout them out because it's rare to see it. So, you know, sometimes a natural woman will cross the timeline and I'm going to be like, yeah, she's a winner. Because I'm just happy to see a real butt. But I don't really get the thought process that you woke up in the morning and you put on your wig and lashes and then a summer dress with no bra on. And the first thing you want to do is take a picture and put it on the internet. And then when guys are like, I'll hit, quit sexualizing me. I don't understand what you're doing. What was your objective? So twerking, and I don't, that's why a lot of times when I see stuff, I'll just comment Sarah Bartman. Like, y'all do realize what that woman went through, right? Being hypersexualized. And so it's just kind of like, if you want men to see your value, then you got to show us more to value. Women, like I said, the curves of a woman, the curves of a natural black woman, look here. And I've got family in South Africa, so like seeing a Zulu woman, naturally that little tiny waist and these huge hips and a perfectly round butt. Like, look, black women are unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there is way more to us than that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you want a guy to take you seriously, but you're not taking you seriously because I'm looking at the timeline.
Yeah.
And guys are getting bored now. That's why, like,
yeah,
I think men have been naturally drawn to modesty, because some of the most gorgeous women, you're a man, so jump in. I'm just speaking for what men have told me and speaking even from how I feel. Muslim women, like Muslim black women, I will do a double take on them because their faces are gorgeous and you don't see anything. So there's like a natural curiosity because you don't see anything. And then as a marriage counselor, I'm just kind of like, their husband is really blessed because if their eyes are this striking, if their lips are this beautiful, I can only imagine what they look like with no clothes on at home, but I'll never know. And that's the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying? So even when these women get triggered by men saying, you know, the body count conversation, please shut up. Like, why wouldn't a man want exclusivity?
Yeah.
I don't get why you're baffled like that. They want to get what someone else isn't getting. And I think a lot of men now, I would at least hope, realize that they're kind of ridiculous to want a virgin if they've had 20 partners. I don't think the conversation so much about virginity, the conversation's about exclusivity. And so get out of the bedroom, even just your physical appearance. Like, if you're showing your titties every day, what is he gonna get about your titties that everybody on the timeline didn't get? And I just don't think women aren't thinking that through. Like, men want to, they want to feel special. And a part of what comes with special is something was reserved just for them. So that doesn't have anything to do with the hypocrisy and the, you know, we've got to get back to like the purpose of why we do what we do.
Yeah.
So no, a man is not saying that, I would hope not, because y'all would look like hypocrites.
Yeah.
To be like, I need you to have only had one partner all your life and I've had 30. But I do think a guy is like, you know, kind of like, have you noticed like more and more women too are graphically discussing what they do sexually? Graphically. You know, like, I'll swallow that nut twice. Okay.
Basically tell it on themselves. Yeah.
And why would a man, what makes a husband feel special when you've told them everything on Instagram that you're finna do to him? In a way, it's almost embarrassing for him.
Yeah.
And a woman should feel the same way about man. If a guy is just on the internet, I'm gonna lick that thing up and I'm gonna, like, Lord, what then? What's left for me if everybody else gets it based on what you talking about it? Nothing is special anymore. And you know, I can hear my grandma coming out of my mouth as I'm saying it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. So, you know, even this whole people claim to hate marriage and marriage is obsolete, but y'all sure do want all the benefits of marriage. All of them.
All of them.
Why would I get married? Ain't no point in getting married. You gonna pay my rent? That's my man. He better not cheat. Everything you just said sound like marriage.
Yeah.
So just get married. Yeah, I'm tired.
Well, thank you, black woman.
Thank you, black man. So tell me one more thing before we end.
Okay.
What would a woman have to do? Plot twist, right? What would a woman have to do in this season of your life to make you want to have a relationship with her?
She would kind of show me that she can, you know, be a real helpmate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me you can be a helpmate. You gotta show. You know?
Agreed. Like,
yeah, we can date. We can take, you know, places, but, like, I like to be liked. I'm pretty sure you like to be liked too. You want me to answer the phone and beck call, like, you know, I show like, hey, you need anything? You know, I'm just checking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? be on like, hey, what's up? You know, matter of fact, like, let me come over. Let me come into your house. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, the opposite, like, what you doing? I'd be like, I'm at home. Like, why don't you come over here? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, another podcast for another time, but people sometimes ask me, like, why haven't you had a boyfriend? I'll never have another boyfriend. Acting like you're married when you're not married is ridiculous to me. So people are like, well, what would you do? And I said, why can't everybody just be friends and date? One day you will happen upon the person you want to spend the most time with. And then you all will have a conversation about what marriage looks like. And then you get engaged and get married. Why has it got to be so hard? So another part of the reason why we're suffering is because we pulled out the friendship component. A lot of these people, the same way I said a lot of porn people have sex and can't stand each other, a lot of people date and can't stand each other either.
Yeah.
So you have to prioritize friendship in this. And if you're my friend, then no, I don't feel, you know, if you and I were like attracted to each other and our phone conversations transition to a date and we're still feeling each other, and then we build a friendship, and then you say, Shelly, come over, let's watch a movie. I'm not over here like, and you cheat, why are we coming over to your house to watch a movie? Why can't we go to, because there's already a friendship there.
Yeah.
So the perspective is, I'm coming to hang out with someone I like. I'm not hanging out with someone I can get something from.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that too. Like, I feel like a lot of times women think men are being way more strategic than men actually are being. A lot of times guys are not like, well, let's meet up for coffee. Let's get a pizza. Let's, because they're being cheap. They're just like, let me think of an easy way for both of us to spend time together.
Yeah.
Like this dumb video I watched. I was like, boy, these women wear me out. She thought she was giving a hack. She was talking about, you want to know if a man's cheap? Watch what he pays for dates with. And she was like, if he pays with cash, he ain't got a lot of money. If he uses a debit card, he doesn't have a lot of money. I was like,
yeah, okay. I saw that too.
You know what I'm saying? And I was sitting there thinking, do you know how many dudes will move money over onto a debit card so they don't overspend the money that they do have? And the money that they do have is a lot. Y'all don't even know what y'all talking about out here. So I can also tell a lot of these women don't have male friends.
Yeah.
Because people will ask me all the time, you know, like, how do you have so much of a mind of a man? Because I listen to men. Because I liked my daddy. Because I spend time with men. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, no, a guy's not broke because he doesn't flash his money. Y'all don't do white men like this. A lot of white men don't show
their show down.
And they will
white
rolling in money. Warren Buffett still lives in the first house he bought.
Yeah.
He's not flashing his cash. So don't assume a man is broke. That's gaslighting. If you don't spend $400 with me on this date, you must not have money. He has money because he's not spending $400 on the date. That's the point. And if you're a good woman, you respect that. Like, we could go on for days about that. You meet a guy and you both are on the same page and you can see that he's making plans for you. And those plans mean, I mean, we can go on 400 dates now or your honeymoon can be overseas. Pick one. A mature woman will be like, I'll wait. When a man, like, when you meet a man's basic needs, the man will give you the world.
Yep.
The world. The world.
Don't even need much, really.
Yes. Agreed. It always is in threes. Sex, sandwich, silence, fit, friendly, feminine, F's, fetus, need us. It's always in threes.
Yeah.
Respect, consistency, nurturing. And then women are like, oh, that's you doing the most.
Yeah, for those three things.
Yeah. Yeah. Except the one. You ever go on TikTok? When we get off, go on TikTok and put dating standards in the search field and watch some videos. Don't worry, 50 things on that list.
Yeah, but bruh, it be like women be on there like you gotta be 100,000, 200,000.
But even get out of the money, I'm just saying stupid stuff like, if you ask me on a coffee date, no. If you're not 6'2", no. If you're not going to buy me what I want for my birthday, no. If you don't send me a text immediately after the date, no. Like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But a man said he just wants some sex and some macaroni and cheese, and he's just being ridiculous.
Right.
And you're not his slave. Okay. Good luck with your struggle. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time, and it ironically came from a Tyler Perry movie. Good luck with your struggle. Because that's what y'all are headed for. Why aren't these men, you know how the women are saying more and more, why don't guys approach us anymore? Because y'all always talking about they're creepy and rapey.
Yep.
Pick a team, man. Where is chivalry? What Chris Rock said, y'all killed it. That's where it is.
Yep.
Well, black man, it was a pleasure. It always is.
Yes, we got to do another one probably, what, next month? You want to do one?
Yeah, hit me up. You know how to find me.
That's what's up. Until next time, guys, this is the Independent Podcast. You just listen to a black man and a black woman spill on this social media streets. And until next time, guys, be amazing.
Bye, y'all.
Peace.